y'all would, let's open up to Leviticus 23, verse 23. We're going to, as the feast is approaching fastly, I just wanted to, in these next couple of weeks, just use the Feast of Trumpets and just bring out some things I believe that the Father is wanting us to know and wanting us to be prepared for. Now, I do know this. If you've ever experienced Sukkot, it is beyond awesome. Being with the people. Now, I'm not saying that it's not challenging sometimes to go camping for 12 days, since we're there a little early to start with, but doing the feast and festivals. But yet, having a community of people that rally together and come together and be together and allow the Father to do what He does in our life to grow us to the next year. So every one of these feast and festivals, starting with Shabbat. That's why, so with Brenda going through what she's going through right now and being here is what can help fill her with still, during a time of grieving, and there's proper grieving, but you can still have the joy of the Father in your heart comforting you, because that's what He wants to do, is hold us and comfort us. And so I appreciate that. But what I wanted to say in this regard is this. As much as, because Sukkot is representative of being with Him in eternity, ruling and reigning. You want to get there, but there's steps to get there. Their Shabbat is step one. Passover is a step. Unleavened bread is a step. Shavuot is a step where we're given the Torah and His Holy Spirit after we're giving salvation and getting the sin out. You can see all of these steps through the feast and festivals is bringing us up to Sukkot. But guess what? You can't get to Sukkot unless you hear the trumpet. And the trumpet, being teruah, is one of the interpretations is voice. If you remember last year when we were going through this, this is what it was saying in Jericho whenever they marched around that city. Remember, we had fun with it because it was like the people were afraid and they locked themselves in that city. But at the same time, for 7 days, what are these Hebrews doing? They're doing a parade. You know, what kind of new thing is this are they bringing? What kind of parade are they? What are they doing? Are they entertaining us or are they supposed to be fighting us? And naturally, the warriors of Israel, they were wanting to go fight. But we learned in what Yahweh was teaching the warriors, you have to praise before you can fight. Because praising and prayer and all of that is how you win the battle. He's the one that goes before us. He's the one that goes after us and cleans up the mess. He is the one, and that's what He's saying, teaching us that we're not to rely on our own strength. And that's what, as much as like what Mark was saying earlier, guys, you might as well get ready. It is here in our face. Anything now to do with, let me say this. There was a general that was on the news the other day, and he said, you know, back in my day, which naturally he's older, but he was saying back in my day, which was only a few years back, and a few years now, I'm trying to think, it would be back before George W. Bush became president. Used to be that whenever two people ran for president, and when one of them lost, the other one said, we need to unite as a country. We need to stand and we need to know that this is a fair election. He is the president and we need to get by. And we need, because we're Americans and we need to have a prosperous, we need to do what's right and we need to serve one another. Do you think that's happening today? No. Ever since the Chads. If y'all don't know what that means, ever since Gore and Bush, whenever they were trying to fight, ever since that day, anybody who becomes president, it is illegitimate. They are not the true president. They're not my president. They're not my. Guys, it is getting violent. And it is getting to where people, even small groups of people, I mean, they came out, San Francisco came out with their board, or whatever, their board of aldermen or whatever, and declared the NRA, which is the National Rifle Association, domestic terrorist. So they're claiming they're a terrorist organization. So what that means is if anybody is a part of that, now they're claiming that you're a terrorist. Can you and they don't have the right as a city to sit there and say who's what. That's for the federal government to decide. What I'm saying is people are deciding on their own what they're doing. Sanctuary cities. You got the situation to where in Sacramento, a deputy was shot by an illegal who they had in custody, but the government, their little town government, said you can't turn him over to the feds. They let him go. Then he goes out and violates somebody and then and he shoots the deputy. And the sheriff is like, this insanity's got to stop. Amen. But guys, this is the day and the time, and if you ever read the scripture, and I know you have, when wrong is right and right is wrong, we are smack dab in the middle of that cesspool. And we're in that cesspool. Now, we talked about also the other day, population. I know, Keith, you were saying maybe 7.5 billion population of the world. I'm going to say 8 billion just because I can do better on whole numbers and not halves. You good with that? So don't hold me to the other 500 million. But say 800 billion. So we said that there's probably 2 billion Muslims. So I'm sure that there's 2 billion that's not going to be doing trumpets this year. Can we be safe to say that? Okay, 2. Another billion was Hindus, so that runs another billion out of it. So now, how many billions of people do you think is going to be celebrating the feast this year? There's 14.5 million as of 2018 census Jewish people, and not all Jews are religious. A lot of them secular. So that, I mean, there's two there. Now let me say this. There, out of the 14.5 million, there is two holidays they will celebrate, Passover and Yom Kippur. They may not do all the rest of them, but they'll do those two, just like the Christians. They'll do Christmas and Easter. They may not ever come to church, but they're going to come to church on those 2 days. What I'm saying is how many people out of 8 billion people do you think is going to be celebrating the feast? Trumpets. Probably a couple hundred thousand. You know, when I say the word remnant, can you understand what remnant means? When you're talking about Abraham, starting with a man, then with a family, and then with a nation that come out of Egypt, a mixed multitude, how it was growing, and then how sin, they were defeated, and you've seen this back and forth. One day, out of all from the time of earth until when we're all gathered, in, there's going to be a pretty sized remnant, I'm sure, that will celebrate. But I was just in a place to where as much as I am excited about his feast, sometimes you can, if you're not careful, you can get discouraged. When you're sitting here saying you have a desire for souls, you have a desire for the people to know the truth. Because, guys, it is awesome. There is... Ever since I want to say this too, because I started off with my notes as of yesterday, and then it showed up into all of this as of yesterday. Just what the Father was showing me about man and how we need to get ourselves out of his business. Because when we think we know better than he does, all it causes is heartache, and all it causes is division. All it causes is us thinking that we know better than him, and we're out here reinventing. I didn't even really, that's why I said, what are we hearing? Trumpet, teruah, it's a battle cry, it's a war cry, it means sound the alarm. So when you look at the word teruah, it means voice. Whose voice are we listening to? Are we listening to the trumpets of man? And the majority is, because as I was reading, because I was trying to go through how many Hebrew roots or Hebrew awakening is what they're calling it sometimes now. I was trying to find out about how many of us are there. I couldn't find a number. I did find something interesting that there was somebody from Colorado who prophesied many years ago. And I don't know how many years ago. I want to try to research it. But he said that there was going to be four moves. And it started with Pentecostalism. Started with Azusa Street. And then it came into faith healing, charismatic, and Hebrew roots. And he said the Hebrew roots was the last of the four. So returning back to Torah, because what are we doing? We're taking all of the first three, and we're now taking the Spirit with the Torah, and we're bringing it together for this last final push into these times that we're in. However all of this ends up being, and how it all pans out, I'm not the pan theory, but you know what I mean? But there's just this awakening that's happening, but it's important. Tabernacles, I don't ever want us to get to a place, I don't want to ever get to a place to where I treat trumpets just like another holiday. Because it's life-changing. I need to get, at 60 years old, I need to get what he wants me to get out of trumpets this year. Because this year is important. Why? Because I'm alive this year. And if I'm not alive when trumpets happens, then hallelujah, y'all can figure it out. Amen? But I'm just saying, for right now is while I'm here, because he wants me to hear something. He wants me to hear something because it's going to set up for what's going to happen if he tarries. Because guys, he's coming back. There's going to be a trumpet blast. He's coming back. There has to be. There's got to be a time when this all ends. We're going to end up in the world to come, to where the lake of fire and all of that stuff is burn all the toast that it can burn. Amen. So my thing was is I was, but then naturally as I'm reading about Hebrew roots, we come to where we are in a cult. And we're in a cult because we teach that the Old Testament is relevant for today. Because Jesus, this is what it said by Christian people, I mean renowned Christian, because Jesus come to do away with the Old Testament. He come to do away with the laws. He come to do away with all of that stuff. So we're in a cult by trying, they call us Judaizers. Now, let me tell you what a Judaizer is. You're not a Judaizer by following the Torah. A Judaizer is a Jew who is telling you that you have to be circumcised before you can be saved. Or you can be saved, but you have to convert to Judaism. That's what Galatians is all about. That's Judaizing. Because you, and I wanted to make this clear for us to understand, we here, we believe in Yeshua. We believe just what Paul was laying out. Circumcision, is it important? It's part of the Abrahamic covenant? Absolutely. That's why, just by default, a lot of times people don't even know why they do it. They still have their children circumcised, you know, after they're born. But it's very important because it's in His Word. It's part of the Abrahamic covenant. But salvation is by faith. You see what I'm saying? Salvation is by faith. And we have never taught that you have to be circumcised to be saved. Or you have to become a Jew to be saved. That's a Judaizer. So they are dead wrong in their definition of it. But people who listen to the people because they got the doctorate degrees, they're saying that. What am I saying? There's trumpets out there that's trumpeting every day. There's different groups out there. Here, there's one. Yahweh and His Word and His Holy Spirit. And it is a clear sound. Man, I could keep on going, but I ain't got enough whiteboard. A trumpet of man, trumpet of man, trumpet of man. He just trumpeted. What man? Who? Who is the individual that says, this is the way it is? Who made you? Who died and made you boss? You know, Yeshua died and he became boss. Because this trumpet said so. This trumpet, and that's why he said there's many antichrists or many anti-messiahs in this world. And it's many, many, many different forms. Different religions in different forms. There's so many trumpets out there. That's why Paul has been saying that his word, you have to be in tune with his word. How do you be in tune? You have to know his word. You have to read it. You have to meditate on it. You have to know, because then when something happens in this world that we're in and what's going on, who's being attacked, Remember the tree of knowledge of good and evil? Everything good is not God. Everything good doesn't belong to Elohim just because it's good. Because there are some good things out there, but he didn't sanction it. And it can lead people in a wrong direction, in a wrong path. So, my teaching happens to be this. As we get started with it, it'll probably end up in the next week and maybe the next week. But the feast is all going to be, what is that voice that's going out? What are we saying? I heard an excellent minister was ministering about seed, sowing seed. I'm for sowing seed. But I had a revelation because of Brad Scott had a revelation, and he ministered it here one day, and it says, we are to bear fruit because the seed is within the fruit. That's what we're designed. That's how I'm to sow seed. I am not to go out there just to sow seed. My job is to bring you the fruit of this word in my life. When I bring you the fruit of this word in my life, I'm sowing Yeshua into you. That's what it's about. Praying. When you're coming here, we're laying hands on you and praying. That's fruit of the people sowing seed into you, and the love of Yeshua going into you, bringing you comfort during this time of pain. That's what it's about. Sometimes we, because I was raised Baptist, sometimes we, you know, you go out there and we sow. And I'm saying witness to people. We are to witness to people. We're to tell them about Yeshua. We are to tell them about the love of Elohim in their lives. But then sometimes what happens in that telling, we get to a place to, well, where do you go to church? Or around Jack's? Around Jack's. I mean, like, where's Jack's? You know, you see what I mean? So then you get, all I'm saying is that we are to be trumpets. But if we're to trumpet, we're only to trumpet one thing, his ways, because it's his ways that delivers us. It is a privilege and an honor to be here. It's a privilege and an honor to be in maybe what might be the very last move or awakening before he gathers in Judah and Ephraim. Because that's part of the scripture I'm going to read. I know I'm going to get there today. But the thing is there has to be a time when Ephraim is no longer jealous of Judah. And there has to be a time when Judah is no longer shaming Ephraim. That's still happening today. Jew and Gentile, Jew in the nations coming in. I can tell you that with this presidency, like it or not, we've been closer to Israel than we've ever been, that I've ever known. Richard Nixon did one thing. He threw them a bone to keep them being totally wiped off the map during 73. But other than that, people don't care. They only care about themselves. That's why all these different groups and all these different trumpets going out there. But what does the Father say? What does the Father say about his land? What does he care? I mean, whatever he loves is what I need to love. That's the key. So I'm very passionate about this, to know that whenever we're to celebrate these feasts, that it is a voice. It's not just something that we're doing. He's trying to speak to us in the day and time and hour that we live. You know, whenever the Feast of Tabernacles took, well, whenever they were doing it in the 1600s, he was speaking then. When they were doing it in the 1200s, he was speaking then. He was definitely speaking in year zero when Yeshua was there, when he was in the temple and when things were happening. Every generation, he's speaking something to us because we're responsible for in the generation that we live. I'm only given so many years. And he's saying, you need to do something with these years you're in. Don't waste these years. And I will tell you that I've wasted some years. But he's telling us not to waste these years. Because you get one good shot at this, then the resurrection. Okay, so in 23:23, it says, Yahweh spoke to Moses, speak to the people of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, I just want to read this. We've read this many, many times. But I like to read it because it's his word. On the first day of the month, you shall observe a day of solemn rest. So it tells us that we're going to have a Sabbath. We're going to have a time of solemn rest. A memorial, we talked about that plenty of times, what a memorial means. Proclaiming with blast of trumpets. And that word blast of trumpets, blast there is teruah. Means alarm, voice, war cry, shouts of joy. And we also have a holy convocation. It says, do no ordinary work. You shall present a food offering to Yahweh. I just wanted to read the scripture. Let's go to Jeremiah 10. And let's look at, as we travel into these few weeks, or as we take our journey into Sukkot, as really that we're preparing. You know, I really appreciated, you know, what Tyler said in his little exhortation. That's huge. I want to capitalize on that again. There's a lot of people that need something, but when he answers your prayer, there's responsibility to what he gives you. And especially if you're sick and you're ailing and he heals you, you got to get a job. There's something you got to do that you may be comfortable. Sometimes in life, now I'm just going to bring this even into a more spiritual thing. Sometimes we get comfortable where we're at. We're good with people giving us alms. We're good with people feeding us. But the Father is saying it's time for you to be healed and get on your own feet and go out and start feeding others. That's what he's trying to teach us. But you can't feed others if you don't know what to feed them. There's so much going out there in Christianity today that there's who's going to believe who? Who's right? If you just took the average person and you took a handful of us in all the different denominations and we told you our best stuff, it would only be by, if that person was discerning, it would only have to be by the Holy Spirit for that person to understand what was truth. Because there's so many different beliefs out there, so many different shades of it, and so many saying, well, I believe this, but I definitely don't believe that because, you know what I mean? All these trumpets out there, and the Father's trying to trumpet his true voice through this. All right, Jeremiah 10:23. It says, I know, this is Jeremiah, O Yahweh, that the way of man is not in himself. I'm reading out at ESV. And that's saying, man's ways are not his own. Jeremiah's saying is, Father, I know that man's ways are not his own. Our society that we live in today is man's ways is his own, and Yahweh's ways is not ours, is really the way it is today. But Jeremiah is also saying this, that it is not in man who walks to direct his steps. The New Living Translation said it like this, we are not able to plan our own course. And that's what Jeremiah is saying here is, Father, I'm acknowledging, and that's what I want us to acknowledge. We have to acknowledge, Father, I can't plan and plot my own course. Because if I do, and if I'm a sailor, I will sail from the left to the right, to the left to the right, and never gain any ground. Because I don't have any moral compass without him. I don't know even which way to go. And that's why it has to be, this is our compass. This tells us which direction to sail in our life. It tells us which direction that we need to go in. And guess what? If a hurricane comes in your life spiritually and blows you off course, how do you get back on course? Your compass. Because if you rely on your own course, what you're going to do is you're going to try to figure it out and you're going to wander in the wilderness. We have that as a pattern, but you're going to want, that's why they always said they wish, that's why, what, Zipporah, Moses' wife, that's why she always griped at Moses. You don't know where you're going, why can't you stop and ask somebody for directions? Because men have a problem with that. Wives usually say, why don't you ask somebody? I know where I'm going, you know. Google's wrong, but I know where I'm going. And then sooner or later you say, well, you know what, I need to go use the restroom. You go in the bathroom, you say, where am I at? Don't tell my wife, but where am I at? How do I get over? Got to save face. But man, that's the way we are. This is our moral compass. And sometimes we get blown off course. And if we get blown off course, this is how you get back. And you know what? this is how you get back. When you have a community of people that's there to help you during a time where you can't see straight, you can't think straight, and you're not really sure because you get blindsided. And then he says in 24, he says, correct me, O Yahweh, but in your justice, not in your anger, lest you bring me to nothing, which means lest you kill me. So there's a time that where we are to cry out to the Father, and this is that time. Correct me, Father, but in your justice and not in your anger. Because we know that the wages of sin is death, and we know that sometimes he has really gotten angry with Israel and with his people because of their unbelief. We talked about that last week. How could anybody in their world give their child up to Molech? How could you ever take your firstborn child and pass them through the fire? You know, BJ and M, that's a beautiful baby. That baby, amen, that baby was like a porcelain doll. You know? Sorry, Hannah, Justin. My children were ugly. You don't really see a lot of pretty babies. Hannah said, now all babies are pretty. All babies are blessings. But when they come out with that stuff all over them, you know what I'm saying? All different colors. When Hannah came out, I said, praise the Lord. I was shouting and dancing right in there. We was having church. But at the same time, you know, I was like, breathe. Get some color, girl. Get some color. Coming out all blue and gray. Get some color. Now she started turning pink. I started feeling better. But no, I'm just saying, I saw a picture of that baby. That baby is beautiful. Amen. I'm telling you. Hannah will get on me later, but that's okay. Hannah says, you know I was beautiful. Hannah was a beautiful baby. It took her 6 months, but she got there. Amen. Like I said, oh, Father, in justice, do not judge me in your anger, lest you kill me, Hannah. Philippians 3. Paul was talking to the Philippians. 3:17, he says, brothers, join in imitating me. There's another scripture, and I didn't write it down, but he says, follow me as I follow Messiah. We all say the same thing. We are in this congregation, if we're following Messiah, follow us. But if we're not, it's time to get off the ship. Amen? And this is what Paul was saying. Brothers, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. So what he's saying here is this. He says, we're walking in Torah. We're following the compass. We're going this path. As long as we're following this path, you follow us, because he was an apostle. He was setting up congregations all over Asia Minor in the seven churches. He was responsible for a lot of these congregations, and this is what he's saying. But there is a way to walk. Verse 18, but he says this, for many, there's other trumpets out there. For many, of whom I have told you and now tell you, even with tears. I started off this thing not quite in tears, but I'm burdened. I'm burdened when you're taking 8 billion people and there's only a remnant. A remnant is a thread of a garment. A thread of a garment of a whole that's celebrating the feast and festivals, the most awesome time in the world. To where the Father can commune, he can heal, he ministers to us, he brings us love, joy, and peace in our life. And we see a world that's hurting out there, people suffering out there, have no hope. Do we hurt sometimes? Yes, we do. We hurt physically, we hurt. Sometimes we hurt, you know, emotionally. But yet there's still a joy there because we have hope. We have hope in him that we know that there's victory on the other side of battles. We know that. We know that we're going to win the war. You may lose a battle or two in a fight. But you're never going to, if you stay with him, you're never going to lose the war. And that's what it's all about. And I could see where Paul is pouring out his heart, knowing that the Messiah, I mean, it ain't been many years. There's only a few years, it's maybe 10 years, maybe just a few that's lapsed here from Yeshua's ascension. And you know that the power of the Holy Spirit, what's happening when lepers are still being healed, and you're still seeing people being delivered from demonic oppressions and possessions and all of these things. Talking about myriads, it said many, many, many people are coming to know Yeshua. Not only from the Jewish people, but now from the Gentiles. Cornelius. Can you imagine Peter in Acts 10? You know, okay, I had a vision. I don't eat, you know, our laws and our commandments and all the things, our fences that we put up. We can't eat with you guys, but yet there was an angel come told me somebody was coming. Somebody came, so I'm going to go. And while he's speaking, they're filled with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit falls on them. And it said, though, and there was a lot of other Jewish people there. I'll just say it like that because that's the best way to explain it. There was people there that was other Israelites that were there, Hebrew people that were there. And he's looking at them. Well, how are we going to say no to this? Because saying no to this, I'm now trumpeting. But the Father says, this is what's happening. Regardless of the way I've been trained, regardless of in the house of Hillel or in the house of Shammai, how I was taught all my life, the Father in that clear voice says, you know what? It's time for the Gentiles to come in. And this is what he's doing. How can we? He's filled them with his Spirit. Now, let's get them wet. Let's bring them in there and let's get them baptized. Because who are we? Because this is what's happening. When something doesn't go our theological way, we got to be careful that we're not going against this trumpet here. That's what this is about, because trumpet means voice. There's something that he does in these times and seasons in our lives. And we need, you know, I think, I'm going to step out there and say this. I know when I was young, there was one thing that I asked my preachers, people, my mentors. How come Sunday, being the first day of the week, how does Sunday the Sabbath? How does that work? And I especially had that conversation because my brother went into Worldwide Church of God. And so when he had that, because, I mean, I'm like 18 when he was in New Orleans when he started that. Or maybe I was 17, might have been younger. But I'm just saying, but because he was worshiping on Saturday, now, I mean, I can count. And I'm like, the Baptist can't count? Well, I mean, you know, but then they say, well, no, and you know, because he was raised on the first day of the week. Now it's the Lord's Day. And so we get into all of that. I said, okay, y'all been to school. I'm 18 or 17, I don't know. But yet, what was going on? When I read his word, his trumpeting was going in here. But when I would talk to people to help me understand, they were trumpeting something else. We don't do the Sabbath, we do the Lord's Day. You understand what I'm saying? But that's a trumpeting that's going out, and people are believing that. Well, where did they get it from? Well, they got it back, Constantine, back in the 300s. Probably don't know themselves because somebody else trumpeted it to them. Somebody else before that trumpeted to them. You see what I'm saying? And this didn't take the Father by surprise, guys. That's why there's called restoration. That's why there's called an awakening. That's why there's called a return. In his word, and we definitely ain't going to get there today, it talks about returning, returning, returning. Why do you need to return if you're there? That's right. Remember, because you're going to forget. That's right. Return and remember. It's returning because the thing about it is there's some still straightening up to do because we have listened to wrong voices for so long, and that's what these feasts and festivals are about. These are to teach us his voice, not our voice. We have created so much religion using scriptures. changing his times and seasons, changing his days of worship. And when you do that, you're not walking in light, you're walking in darkness, or you're walking in very, very dim light. But he's awakening us as his people. And for a lot of us, it's been doing this a while. I mean, I can see bright light. But I know that there's new people that this is new to them, and they're still here. And I gotta remember they're still dimly over here because they don't understand the feast and festivals. They've not walked in it long enough yet. But I'm telling you, every year, every Shabbat is a step, but every feast and festival is a huge step. Every year is a huge step to bring us out of darkness into his wonderful light. That's what restoration and awakening is all about. I hear about revival. We've been here. I'm excited about revival. But if you're not awakened, you can't be revived. Because what are you going to be revived to? Am I going to revive you back into the same darkness you've been in? That's no good. We have to be awakened. We have to have restoration, restoring us back. We got to confess one thing. This is relevant from Genesis to Revelation. When you confess that and you understand that in your life, then you can worry about revival. But if you're going to say that it's from Matthew to Revelation, you can revive, and in 6 weeks or 3 months, you will be back exactly where you were before, because there's nothing different in there. Do you know who's getting revived all the time? People ain't getting saved. It's the Christians that keep dying and getting up, dying and getting up, dying and getting up. It's like popcorn being repopped. You know what I'm saying? The thing is we need to be fruit, we need to be eaten, we need to have something fresh popped. So anyway, that's what the voices of trumpets is all about. This is an opportunity. These feasts and festivals are opportunities. When people ask you, most of us is working, we have to work and we have to ask, you know, what are you doing? Why do you need off? You know, because like I've said before, if you say we're going to Disney World, they'll throw you a party. But if you say that we're going to go and we're going to celebrate the feast, they're going to say, you are crazy. You can't have that time off. You can't do this. And you know what? You have to start praying. But you know what? This is the Father's business. Because whenever you have to ask for these times off, you're being a light to people who don't know, don't understand. And you know what? They may fuss and fight about it. Because a lot of these people are Christians that's your bosses. And it offends them. Where does judgment start? In his house. So if you're going to sit here, whether anybody knows it or not, and I'm going to end with this, anybody knows it or not, if you profess Yeshua as your Lord and Savior, if you profess Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if you profess anything in one chapter, especially from, say, Matthew, and if you call yourself his, he's definitely going to speak into your life. And he's not going to just speak Matthew to Revelation into your life. He's going to speak this into your life. He's speaking everything in this because he understands it. Now there's a journey. Now the journey starts, and then all of a sudden, some people don't like the journey. Because the journey is I didn't know this is what I signed up for. Guys, if that's the attitude that you've got, you didn't have the right heart to accept him to start with. It has to know that I was a sinner and I needed a Savior. It didn't matter. What I'm saying is, it doesn't matter what he tells me to do. Whatever you say, I will do. If your heart is that, there's a genuine change. But if your heart is I'll accept you, but let me hear what's going on first and let me decide, that ain't the right heart. That's a head trying to figure out that's still what we read in here about man trying to plot and plan his own course. So, trumpets, this is what this is about. It's about a voice. It's about a battle cry. Do you know, and it's like what Rachel was saying earlier about prayer, whenever you're going through whatever, that's teruah, battle cry. Whenever you get to a place to where you're sick and tired of being sick and tired, you get to a place to where I am done, and you start crying out to him in prayer, that's teruah. That's a trumpet blast, and he will hear you. He will hear your prayers. That's what it means. There's a trumpet that goes off. Because there again, remember guys, when they walked around Jericho, they blew those horns. And when they blew those horns, after they blew those horns, that word was teruah, they gave out a great what? Shout, same word, teruah, look it up. Trumpet blast. The Father knows. It doesn't have to be this is a sound and this is the sound. If it's teruah, it's teruah. If it's a blast, it's a blast. If it did something, number one, what happened? Obedience. Obedience to do what they did and to follow exactly what he said to do. And when that voice went up, wall. Scripture says the wall came down. Didn't say walls, it said a wall came down. I like that because guess what? When that wall came down, they were all hemmed in. They didn't go nowhere. And Israel went in and defeated the people of Jericho. He fights our battles. We hear his trumpet. We obey what he says to do. And then he uses us as a trumpet. And then we can defeat our enemy. But if Joshua would have came in and said, you know what? Let's huddle up. Yahweh, that sounds good. But these people are going to think we're crazy. Now, we got all these people. Now, we got warriors out there. We got nice swords. We've been whittling on the things for 40 years. We got this iron perfected. Now, but you're going to go out there, and you're going to put all them priests in all them funny-looking garments, and you're going to let them go out there ahead of us, who are the men. You know, they men. We men. We're going to fight, but you're going to let them go out there, and you're going to let... Can you imagine what a warrior would really think? Somebody, Joshua was a fighter, but yet he knew who fought his battles. Because remember also in that, he came up when he was going to cross over, there was an angel standing there with his sword drawn. And Joshua said, who are you? He said, I'm the host of Yahweh, his army. Who are you? I got it. You just think you're a warrior until you meet his angelic host of warriors. Amen. Who a lot of times we can't see. We can't see. But if he would open our spiritual eyes, I guarantee you they're there in battle. And they're there defeating. And they're there paving the way for us to win the victory. Amen.